WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest John Lasseter directed the new animated film Cars. He also directed A Bug's Life and Toy Story, which was the first feature-length computer animated film ever made. He was the executive producer of Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, and The Incredibles. Lasseter was a founding member of the Pixar Animation Studio. This year, Disney acquired Pixar, and Lasseter is now Disney's chief creative officer. Every character in the new movie Cars is a car. The main character is a hotshot rookie race car named Lightning McQueen. On the way to a championship race in California, he accidentally winds up off the interstate on Route 66, where he drives into a small, forgotten town named Radiator Springs. The movie features the voices of Owen Wilson, Paul Newman, Bonnie Hunt, Cheech Marin, and George Carlin. John Lasseter, welcome back to Fresh Air. Why did you want to do a story about cars?
Well, Cars is the movie is a really personal story for me. I grew up in Los Angeles, and I think anybody born and raised in L.A., it's part of their DNA to kind of like cars. But my dad was a parts manager at a Chevrolet dealership, so I liked cars even that much more. I would love to go to his dealership when the new models were released. It was always around the beginning of school, and they would paint the showroom windows white, and I couldn't wait to see the new models. And so I just have always loved cars. And so it's really kind of putting the two sides of my life and my family and my loves together, because my mother was an art teacher for 38 years, and I grew up loving cartoons. And so this is kind of putting the two sides of my loves together, cars and cartoons.
What about race cars? Are you interested in NASCAR?
I love racing, yeah. I live in Sonoma, California, and there's a racetrack called Infineon Raceway. It's where NASCAR comes every year. It's one of the two road courses, and I've gotten really in love with race, seeing races live. And there's an energy to being at a racetrack when the race is live. The sound, which the cars are so loud. There's no mufflers on race cars. And the speed, when you see these cars driving, it's like you can't believe they could drive that fast. And so all that energy, and I thought, I would love to get that kind of energy on the screen for the audience to see.
When you were growing up, your father ran the parts department of a Chevy dealership, and you worked there as a stock boy for a while.
Yep, I sure did.
Well, having a sense of like a real visual sense, what were some of the most interesting looking parts to you, and I'm wondering if any of those parts helped inspire any of the animation?
Well, I always loved the wheels were so interesting to me, because how a wheel can fundamentally change the way a car looks. Also, there's a back then the muscle cars, you would get put much bigger wheels on them and raise them up in the back, and they became very kind of muscular that way, you know. And then as cars kind of evolved, the way they looked like muscle cars is you would lower them, and they became more like street racers and stuff. And the tires kept getting thinner and thinner and thinner, and the wheels kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, where it looks like it's just kind of black spray paint on the outside of a chrome rim now. And so the wheels always inspired me as to how that can fundamentally change the way a car looks.
Now the main character car is a young race car that ends up by mistake on Route 66 and kind of gets trapped in this small town. And, you know, the race car, like all race cars, is there's logos on the car. There's logos. It's like race car drivers, their clothes are filled with
right.
logos.
So they have the sponsors.
The sponsors, yeah. So you had to come up with sponsors for these
right.
imaginary race cars, and some of them are pretty funny. And one of them, the main sponsor for the main character car is Rusty's.
Rusty's medicated bumper ointment and their new rear end formula.
Now is that Tom and Ray Maliazzi, the car tuck guys, doing
is.
The voices for that?
You bet. I mean, I am a huge NPR fan, and I listen not only to Fresh Air, but I listen to Car Talk all the time. And I thought, I'm doing a movie about cars being alive. I can't do it without getting Click and Clack as voices. And so we had talked to them early on. And out of thinking of them and their show and you know, being from Boston and stuff and how cars just rust out in Boston, I thought this would be so great to get these guys in there. And so we thought, well, they kind of are these guys that own a garage that sort of made up this kind of Preparation H for the automotive world that takes care of and soothes that painful rust that the Northeast cars kind of get. And out of that came the idea of a rust ease, you know, medicated bumper ointment.
Now, when you asked Tom and Ray Maliazzi, the Car Talk guys, to be voices in the movie, did they say yes right away? Because one of the things they're famous for instance, is not leaving town a lot. So, you know, you'd think they would have jumped at this. But it wouldn't shock me if they declined at first, because I have a feeling they say no to a lot of things.
We called them, and in you know, we talked to them, and I think they kind of got interested. They were familiar with Pixar's other films like Toy Story and all that stuff, and you know, so we finally had a conference call where we were going to talk to them about that. I was going to talk to them about the movie. It became a 45-minute personal Car Talk episode. I was laughing so hard through this because I asked them the simple question: okay, what car would your brother be? Right? I didn't ask them what car do you want to be. I asked them what car do you think your brother should be. And that was 45 minutes of them talking about each other's cars that they've had through their life that were so hilarious. And, you know, and Tom, of course, always has convertibles. So they finally settled into a Dodge Dart convertible. And then his brother wanted to be a 67, you know, he said, oh, he's got to be a 67 A100 van, right? And it's a Dodge. And it was kind of cool because they settled into both Dodges because they're brothers. And we had so much fun with those guys. They were hilarious.
My guest is John Lasseter. He directed the new movie, the new animated movie, Cars. He also directed Toy Story, Toy Story 2, and A Bug's Life. Now, Cars is your first film since Pixar merged with Disney. And before that, the two companies had a co-production deal. So how does this change your working life?
A lot. Bob Iger, is the CEO of Disney, has asked me to be the chief creative officer of Disney Animation and of Pixar Animation. And so now I'm kind of overseeing, you know, all the productions that are being done at both of the studios. I'm also helping over at Walt Disney Imagineering and helping design future theme park rides. And I'm having the time of my life because this is, you know, this is what I've wanted to do all my life, is to make cartoons for Disney. And I got interested in computer animation, which led me up to the San Francisco area, working with Lucasfilm, and then Pixar kind of grew out of that. And so to go back to Disney has been really exciting. And I worked through college at Disneyland as a ride operator on the Jungle Cruise. And so I've got the theme parks in my blood, too. And so it's really exciting to be back.
So what did you learn from working, from operating the Jungle Cruise ride in Disneyland?
I actually was really shy before I worked on the Jungle Cruise boat. And as you know, the Jungle Cruise is a ride that it takes you through kind of the jungles. And the operator does a narration for the whole thing. And more than any other ride at Disneyland, the operator is part of the ride because you have these phenomenally bad jokes to tell, right? And the worse they are, the better, is what I've learned. And so I actually learned a lot about comic timing from the Jungle Cruise because they had a captive audience every 8 minutes or so. And, you know, and so I learned, well, let me try delaying the punchline a little bit more. And it got funnier. Oh, and I went too far. It wasn't funny enough, you know, and I went back and forth and trying things, the energy, slowing things down. And it was amazing how much I learned about comic timing from doing the Jungle Cruise.
So what's one of the jokes that you had to tell? Did they script them for you?
Yes, there's a standard operating procedure spiel that you're supposed to do, but it's one of the lore of the Jungle Cruise, the skippers, is that you trade jokes and you learn about new ones. And one of my favorite jokes is as you come around a bend, there's an explorer. and his sort of native helpers, they're stuck on a pole, and there's this rhino that's kind of poking him, right? Or trying to poke him, and they're raising up every time the rhino rises. And you say, oh, here is the lost explorer. And, you know, he's being led by the famous Hontus tribe. And, of course, the rhino is trying to poke a Hontus.
Oh, gee.
See? Huh? Yeah. It's really bad.
You were actually fired from Disney, weren't you? Or is that from Disney Animation or from Disneyland?
No. Thanks, Terry, for bringing that up.
Yeah, hey, anytime.
Just about forgot. No. Yes, in fact, I was fired from the Walt Disney Studios. I was a young animator working there straight out of CalArts. It was a time when the Disney Animation Studio was being run by kind of animators that were the second tier animators during Walt's time. They were creatively in charge through attrition as opposed to talent, really. And all these young people were coming in from CalArts, and we were on fire. We had seen Star Wars had come out, Close Encounters, you know, the work of Scorsese and Coppola, and it just the cinema was changing, you know, and it's just like we're so excited about what we could do in animation. And these guys were threatened by us. I mean, classmates of mine were Tim Burton, Brad Bird, John Musker, and I can go on and on. Leaders in the industry today were all my classmates. We just wanted to do cool things, and I never stopped. I kept suggesting things right and left and trying things out. And I literally had one of the guys tell me, you know, if we want your ideas, we will ask you. Just sit down and do what you're told. If you don't want to do it, there's a line of people outside the door that will do it. And I thought to myself, whenever I'm in charge, I'm never going to say that to a young person who is so excited and trying to make the product better. And that it's interesting because so much of my management style at Pixar is made up of what I learned what not to do during that time. And so I never shut up, and that's why they eventually fired me. So I went off to Northern California and worked with Ed Catmull at Lucasfilm, and the rest is history.
Now, I read that your co-director on Cars, Joe Ranft, died in August of 2005, and I believe he collaborated with you on all the films that you directed. What happened?
Joe was heading to a retreat, and he got into a car accident on a coastal road and was killed in a car accident. And it's a big loss. Joe has been such a part of all of our films at Pixar, plus, you know, most of the major Disney films, too. He's one of the greatest story artists and story minds that's been around in the industry. And he also is one of the funniest guys you've ever met. He, in fact, did a lot of, he's a very good actor, and he did a lot of the temporary voices that we use kind of as we're making the movie. And sometimes his voices were far better than any actor we were trying to cast in the part. And so he became, you know, the permanent voice. And so he did the voice of Heimlich the Caterpillar in A Bug's Life. Wheezy, the asthmatic squeeze toy penguin in Toy Story 2, and lots of small parts through all of the movies. And, you know, he was with me. He and I went to college together. We both grew up in Whittier, though we met at college, and he has been a part of every minute of making of this film with me. So it's a huge loss to the studio and to the art form of animation.
What did it do to your ability to really enjoy these animated cars in your movie and enjoy their adventures and enjoy their racing, knowing that your good friend and colleague had died in a car accident?
The way I look at it is Joe wanted to entertain the audience with this movie. Every frame of this film has got Joe in it. So to me, it's more about looking at the audience and the smiles on their faces and how much they're enjoying this movie, knowing that's Joe. That's what Joe is giving those people. And that's what I think about with this film, that Joe wanted this movie to be good and really entertain audiences.
Well, John Lasseter, thanks so much for talking with us about your new movie. Thank you.
Terry, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for having me on.
John Lasseter directed the new animated film Cars. It opens tomorrow.